Galatians chapter 5. I say especially for our visitors here that we have been preaching on Sunday mornings on the fruit of the Spirit. And we are ready for the last, the ninth fruit of the Spirit that we'll talk about this morning. We'll read verse 22 through 26. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank and praise You for the song we've just heard, for the congregational singing, for the opportunity to give and fellowship and pray. And now, Father, I pray that You'll bless the preaching. God, I pray You'll do the preaching. And I pray it be in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And Father, even though I'm unworthy and undeserving, I pray I'd be Your mouthpiece today. And I pray, God, that You'll do what You alone can do. And that what happens in this place would not be able to be explained in human terms. Father, would You please meet with us? We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we come through His blood, pleading, God, for You to have Your way. And we'll thank You and praise You for what's accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, today we come to the ninth fruit of the Holy Spirit. Temperance. I'm glad we got it last. I may have to speak on this one for about 6 months. It's a tough one for Americans. Let's be honest, we don't know a whole lot about it. Take a good look at that word. T-E-M-P-E-R. I'll just stop right there. It's temperance, and of course the root word is temper. It actually means to regulate by moderating. To regulate by moderating. You ever heard of tempered glass? Or tempered steel? That's what the word means. It means that you regulate it, or it's regulated or tempered, if you will. And when I got the dictionary out, and Webster said to regulate by moderating, I knew that it wasn't what most people think of when they think of temper. Temper has a lot has to do with a lot of things other than just you losing your temper. Now, we will talk about that in a little while, because that too is the word that we get temperance from. But temper actually means to regulate by moderating, to adjust or to tune. That's what temper means. Now, temperance is the word we're looking at. And the dictionary said about temperance, the habitual moderation in the indulgence of the appetites and the passions. Temperance, I'm sorry to tell you, I'm sorry to have to report to you, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is temperance, and temperance is the habitual moderation in the indulgence of the appetites. Hamburgers, hot dogs, apple pie and Chevrolet. We could throw a few more in there, couldn't we? Now, the appetites and passions. Lust, envy, jealousy, etc. Someone asked this question, are you a thermometer or a thermostat? So what's that got to do with temperance? Well, a thermometer broadcasts the temperature, right? If you look at a thermometer, it'll tell you what the temperature is. But a thermostat controls the temperature. Are you a thermostat or a thermometer? You know what most people in America are? Thermometers. All they do is broadcast the temperature. When I'm talking about temperature, I'm not just talking about Celsius or Fahrenheit. Okay? How about the temperature in a service? about the temperature at a ball game? How about the temperature in your home? And I'm not talking about cold or hot. You see, you're either a thermometer broadcasting the temperature, or you're a thermostat helping to control or regulate or moderate the temperature. I think it's got something to do with the air. You know, like the fowl of the air, or the prince of the power of the air. Have you ever said, man, there was just something in the air around there? Have you? You ever been in a church where there was something in the air? Over in Ecclesiastes it said, the bird of the air told me. Somebody will say, a little bird told me. They got that from the Bible, they just didn't know it. So when we're talking about thermostats and thermometers, we're talking about air control. We ought to be air traffic controllers. We ought to be regulating, moderating the air. They say you can just feel it in the air. There was a buzz in the air. You ever been in a church service where you could feel the coldness and the bitterness? Amen. You ever been in a service where you could just feel a good spirit? Isn't it better when it's a good spirit than a bad spirit? I mean, I don't know what you feel around you, but look around and see if you might could become a thermostat. Amen? Amen. Now, here's what happens. Somebody gets saved, and they're excited. You ever seen anybody just really get in? I mean, when some of you got saved, you really got in. You got in head, feet. I mean, you was all in. You got saved. First thing you did was pour the liquor down the drain and got rid of the cigarettes and got rid of the cable and got rid of the HBO and got, I mean, you got saved. And boy, you're just chomping at the bit. What do I do now, preacher? Man, I'm excited. You mean I ain't going to hell and I'm forgiven and my sins as far as the cast as far as the east is from the west and I don't have to answer for all that stuff. And you mean my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life and I'm a child of God and I'm going to heaven no matter what. And oh boy, well, praise the Lord. Boy, it's good to be saved. Well, they come to church and there's 150 people been saved for 30 years. What happens? You know what happens. You pour cold water on that old boy. And you become regulators in the wrong way. I've said many times a man's the head of the home and the woman is the heart of the home. And a lot of times if mama's happy, huh? Everybody's happy. Right? And ladies, in your home, are you a thermostat or a thermometer? Now, the simple fact of the matter is the Bible says the Holy Spirit is to produce temperance and the saints of God need to become spiritual air conditioners. Right? You know, we've got too many thermometers in here. It doesn't. Some of you are a life-size thermometer. And you tell us who won the game yesterday by your spirit. You tell us whether you let the price of gasoline determine whether or not you feel like going to church. Whether or not you had a good day or a bad day yesterday is often obvious from the time you walk in those doors. And whatever's going on out there, you bring it in here and let everybody know it is 98 degrees demonic today. Amen. Or some of you, bless God, you was in the jails yesterday and two people got saved. Or you was out on the streets yesterday and 150 tracks got out in 15 minutes. Or you went down to the nursing home and some little old lady got saved. And some of you knocked on some doors and some of you had devotions last night. And it just carries over into Sunday. And you come in here and you try to be a good thermostat and help moderate, regulate the temperature. Are you with me? Are we on the same page? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is temperance. Now the word temperance is only in the Bible four times. The word temperate, three times, and the word moderation only one time. It has to do with discipline, control, restraint, sobriety, and discipline and control and restraint is something we know very little about. Proof? Any buffet in America is all the proof we need. Right? We know very little about self-restraint. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 25. This morning, I'm going to use an old outline from an old message to let you test your temperance. Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Let's test our temperance today. Proverbs. I don't know what I said first. Have I said them both so far? All right. Proverbs. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Verse 28. Proverbs 25. Verse 28. The Bible says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Now, normally when we talk about controlling our spirit, we're talking about a man who has a temper. But you control your spirit when it comes to passions and lusts, like the dictionary said. And some of you, you hadn't had anything to eat since breakfast. It's about 4 or 5 o'clock. You just happen to be coming through Cookville, or you happen to be coming through Lebanon. And there's Ryan's. There's Cracker Barrel. I don't know what all you like. There's the Golden Corral. There's all these there's the Chinese buffets now that some of you like. I ain't figured out yet why, but you do. You don't look Chinese. You eat Chinese. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. I just, I'm beans and taters kind of guy, okay? But boy, you pull in there and don't tell me that spirit hadn't got anything to do with appetite. That the attitude from 5 minutes before you got out of that car, and the attitude that you've got when you sit down to that plate of food is daylight and dark. Yeah. Our kids act like they're dying if they hadn't had anything in 4 hours. And it affects their attitude and their spirit. And man, all of a sudden, it's, let's go to McDonald's. Yeah! Doesn't it affect their attitude and spirit? Yeah, amen. That's the way they are. That's the way we are. Our spirit is controlled often by appetite. But listen, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down. Here's a man that is in control of his spirit, of his passions. You ever seen a man out of control? I think one of the funniest, saddest pictures I have in my mind of a man out of control is a man probably in his 50s by the name of Bobby Knight. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? I mean, here's a man, bless his heart, bless his head, bless his school, bless something on that thing. And boy, the referee makes a bad call, and he's getting in his face. Man, he's got veins pumping out. His face is red as a beet. And finally he calms down, he gets back over there, and then the referee makes another call, and I can still see it right now. I saw the clip. I didn't see it in life. He starts taking chairs and throwing them out onto the floor. A grown man! What a great, great example for young boys. Isn't a man out of control a real ugly sight? It might be a drunk. I lived with one for 8 years. My dad was a drunk. And to see a man beating up on a woman or beating up on kids or throwing things and threatening and using language that no man should use and acting like a complete idiot is a picture of a sad sight. It might be a drunk man. It might be a man that has no control over his temper. It might be a Billy Martin back in his days. He's not alive now. Old Billy Martin used to get up there and argue with umpire, and he'd take dirt and kick it on the umpire, and he'd get real red, and they'd get this close to each other, chewing each other out. A man with no control is a pitiful sight. But you see, we would like to focus on the Bobby Knights and the Billy Martins and forget about how out of control we are. Out of control may be going to Walmart to pick up tissue paper and coming out after spending $45 when you plan on spending $5. Out of control might be 4 credit cards all late when the payment comes due. Out of control, maybe I got to have a Mountain Dew at 7 o'clock in the morning or I'm going to throw a fit. Temperance. How do you get temperance? It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, do you have temperance? And you say, no. Then what's my response? The Holy Spirit's not working in your life. That's an area we've not given Him control of. Either we've got it or we don't. If we have it, it's the Holy Spirit. I mean, what is self-control? I've got some great, deep theological truth for you. What is self-control? Self-controlling self. That's what it is. And the Bible says if you don't have that, you're like a city that's broken down without walls. And in the Old Testament, those walls were built around the city as a defense mechanism to keep the enemy out. And if you don't have self-control, if you don't have temperance, the enemy's going to come in and he's going to put something inside of you. He's going to get bitterness inside of you, jealousy inside of you, frustration inside of you. I personally believe that America's eat up with depression and discouragement. And I believe it's nothing more than the fact that we've not practiced any restraint. We have no temperance. We have no self-control. And now all kinds of enemies have come in and overtaken our lives. Temperance. Big thing. Like a city without walls. Weak against the enemy. Even an embarrassment, if you will, to the people of God. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs 16. Here's the test. I'm going to give you about 5 or 6 areas to test your temperance real quick. Proverbs 16, verse 32. Here's the test. You take about 5 or 6 of them today and we'll see how you do, see how I do. I know I'll fail miserably in areas. But let's just see if we can do better. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Number one, how about your temper? Test number one. Can you control your temper? Self-control is better than strength, according to the text. It's mind over muscle. A disciplined basketball team will defeat a talented basketball team. That's right. I've seen it happen. I've seen some of these guys with 5 superstars on the team, out of control, get beat by 5 average players in control. Discipline is better than strength. It's better than physical strength. If you have discipline and moderation and temperance, it'll get you a long ways down the road. We've got kids now, boys and girls, lifting weights and going through all kinds of things. Now they've got steroids in the Major League Baseball, football, no tell them what else. They're doing everything they can to win, to dominate. You know what they need? Temperance. Discipline. Self-control. That's what'll win. That's what'll get you victory. But they're trying to figure an easy, quick way instead of the everyday, disciplined way. Are you with me? And that's the way we are. That's why kids today, at 21 years of age, they get married, they're driving a $40,000 pickup truck and a $25,000 car, living in a $250,000 house, and in debt by the time they're 25 to the point that they'll never get out of debt, probably. Why? No self-control. Got to have it now. I want it now. Mom and Daddy have one like that. I want one like that. Mom and Daddy worked for it for 40 years. Amen. You forgot the work part. Amen. Now, we're talking about temper here. Can you control your temper? Do you have self-control? You know, Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness. It's called the wilderness of what? Temptation. You ever study that word? Temperance? Temperature? Tempted? For 40 days, no bread, no water, and then offered some bread and said, no thank you. That's temperance. I don't know what else it is, but it's temperance. You say, but that's Jesus who lives inside of you. Who lives inside of you? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1 says. You have Christ in you, you ought to have some discipline, you ought to have some self-control, especially when it comes to your temper. Men, if you're quick, I mean quick, to jump on your kids, or to retaliate to your wife, or to spat off something you wish you'd never said. But ladies, if you're quick to scream and yell at your kids, if you've got that thing where your temper is controlled by something other than yourself, you need to get something that you don't have. Submission to the Holy Spirit. My brother used to get so angry, I've told you this before, he'd get big old knots pop up on his head. I mean, over the least little thing. And he come to visit us not too long ago, and Stephen finally got a chance to meet him. I talked to him. I'd told him about him before, but never had been around him much. And boy, you just mentioned somebody that maybe he whipped when he was 18 or 20. And man, he's on the edge of his seat ready just... I mean, I'd hate to live like that. I'd hate to be his wife or his kids back when he had that kind of temper. Just, I mean, quick. To just want to hurt somebody almost. Well, I've seen men 30 and 40 years old. 30 and 40 years old. Standing out in a pasture. Addressing the ball. here's the picture. See if you've ever seen it. Now, my swing's pitiful, but don't worry about that. The club went farther than the ball. I had a family member one time, he got over real close to the tree, and he's going to have to just hit it out in the fairway so he can finally approach the green. And he misses it or something. Wham! Wraps that club around the tree. I'm talking about somebody's daddy. I'm talking about somebody's husband. How would you like to be mad to that guy? I know what some of you are thinking. I am. That's sad, folks. What is that? That's some spirit controlling your spirit more than the Holy Spirit controlling your spirit. Temperance is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I've seen you ladies, you sit there and laugh when I'm talking about these men playing golf or something like that. I've seen ladies in Walmart that I wouldn't want to be married to either. Or, you know, wherever it is at the last day of the sale, and five hands go for that last thing. And there's women ready to kill over that thing. I've seen women with three and four kids in the buggy, you know, or two or three pulling at their dress tail. Shut up! No! Not now! Did you hear me? I told... What is that? It ain't God. It ain't the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit. Temper. Temper. Temper, temper, temper. You got one? Everybody does. You just need a thermostat. Who's the thermostat? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you control that thing. You know, a real man is slow to anger. So how do you know that? I know a real man. They spit in his face. They pulled with their hands his beard from his face. They blindfolded him, hit him with the palms of their hands and said, "Hey, prophet, who hit you?" They spit on him. And he opened not his mouth. That's a real man. He said, "Now, preacher, I've got a temper, but it ain't as bad as I used to be. Man, I used to blow my top all the time. I ain't blowed my top in at least 6 months." How would you like to live right beside a volcano that only blows its top every 6 months? That's what some of your wives and kids put up with. All right, your temper. Let's take another test. Proverbs 18. Look at verse 6. Proverbs 18, verse 6. I'll go quickly through this one. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. His mouth calleth for strokes. You know what that means? He's asking for a whipping. That's what your mama used to say. Boy, you asking for a whipping. Right? You better hush that mouth, boy. What'd you say? Y'all know what I'm talking about? His mouth calleth for strokes. What's his problem? He can't control his tongue. Your tongue. You want a test of temperance? Test your temper and your tongue. James 2 says your tongue can defile the whole body. The Bible says a fool is known by a multitude of words. One man said, better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. I probably told you this 1,000 times. Ask that one boy, said, what was your daddy's last words? He said he didn't have any. Mama was with him to the end. Sorry about that, ladies. You ever wonder why if a picture is worth 1,000 words? Most women choose 1,000 words. You ever think about those things? I was telling somebody the other day, maybe it was last night, I think men are more guilty of that than they used to be. When I was growing up, they always talk about women gossiping. I'll tell you what, men do it in that days. It's pretty sad. Can you control your tongue? Ladies, have you learned the power that the Bible says you have in quiet, meek submission? Did you know your clout is in your quietness, ladies? Not your nagging. I'm forgetting that I'm preaching at Cornerstone. I'm still preaching that family meeting I had a week ago down in Aaron. Ladies, the Bible says study to be quiet. Men, the Bible says study to be quiet. We talk too much. I'm the same way. I was telling a guy last night, I said, you know, a lot of times we feel good because we pray, but the problem is when we pray, we're doing all the talking. What if God ever wanted to say anything? Amen. Can we control our tongue? One good test of temperance is temper. The second one is tongue. Let's look at the third one, Proverbs 23. We don't want to look at this one. I don't want to look at this one. I got to look at this one. The Bible says in verse 1, when thou sittest to eat. Now what in the world is the Bible going to say about eating? Isn't that the way we feel? Come on, let's be honest. Most times we sit down to eat, we do not consider that to be a spiritual activity. God cares about what I do in church. That's why people say, oh, lying in the house of God. Like it's worse here. Lying is wrong whether you're in here or out there in the parking lot or at Walmart. And we somehow think that God just has supervision over, if you will, the house of God and my prayer life and my Bible study. But God doesn't care about my eating habits. Well, the Bible says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. I can give you a lot of scripture on this. Bible says, be not among winebibbers, riotous eaters of the flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. God puts the glutton in the same camp with the drunkard. You got to give me a little credit, Cornerstone. I may preach against drinking. I may preach against smoking. I may preach against pornography. I may preach against adultery, but I also preach against overeating. I think it's wrong. I think we're probably 99% of us guilty. Why? No temperance. No self-control. No discipline. We like the diets that say, eat all you want and lose weight at the same time. We like the all-you-can-eat buffets. We are a nation of consumers. Are you listening? Consumers. There's a disease in the Bible called consumption. I think we've got it. Just a different kind. Men, they'll love it when their little boy, maybe Brother Travis has already done it with Hudson. Or maybe Brother Jeff's always done it, already done it with Justice. Boy, I don't want to wake him up. I'll get in trouble. We'll set him down and put him in a high chair. And we'll say, won't you look at that boy eat? Like he's got some unusual talent from God. Y'all see my boy, he eats like a man. He ought not to. He weighs 14 pounds. Are you listening? I've heard women brag about their teenage boys. That boy, man, he about to eat me out of house and home. He eats six times a day, costing us $150 a week, growing like we've never seen nobody eat like that. Like it's a gift. Can your boy pray? Does he read his Bible? No, but you ought to see him eat. Isn't that the nation we live in? That's America. We are just a mess. No discipline, no restraint, no self-control. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Paul said, I keep my body in subjection, lest I become a castaway. Is your body in subjection? Or are you in subjection to your body? It's that principle I've mentioned in the bulletin last 2 weeks. It's that principle I've taught over and over again. It's that Jesus, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15, would know how to refuse the good, or refuse the evil and choose the good, because he ate butter and honey. What is that principle? It's that when you allow your kids to have as much as we allow our kids to have, they're going to become gluttons, and they're going to have no self-control, and they'll choose the evil instead of the good. We need to learn discipline and restraint in our appetites. Well, our temper, our tongue, our taste buds. How about our treasures? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We'll do a couple more and I'll wrap it up. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. The Bible says if you love silver, you'll never be satisfied with it. You know what our problem is? We've had so much, we want more. We've had so much, we want more. You know what makes me nervous? The Bible's got a phrase over there that says, if be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know what? I think we've got such a taste for this world, we've forgotten what the Lord tastes like. We've got an appetite for this world, and we don't have an appetite for the things of God. I think that's where our problem is. Can you control your finances, your treasures, if you will? Your temper, your tongue, your taste buds, your treasures? Is your checkbook out of control? Credit cards out of control? Some of you need to do plastic surgery, don't you? Cut them things into billions of pieces and get rid of them. How about your time? Here's your test of temperance. People always say, well, I just never seem to find the time. Did you know you've got time to do everything you're supposed to do? Are you listening to me? God gives you the time to do everything you're supposed to do. The Bible says, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The Bible says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You've got time to do everything you're supposed to do. The problem is, we don't have the time to do everything we want to do. And then what about your thoughts? Can you control your thought life? The Bible says we're to bring into captivity every thought. I know a lot of times one of the things that happens with people that get involved in pornography and music, I could go on and on. That's how the devil gets into your thought life. I'm not going to cover today because I've covered it too many times, and I'll probably cover it again before long. It occurred to me yesterday. I preached a message called Satan's Strongholds. I've probably preached it 15, 20 times in other churches. I only preached it once here, and it's been 3 years. Folks, God wants you to be able to control your thought life. And some of you get involved in things, and I won't go into it right now, where your thought life runs wild and brings you in misery. Have temperance over your thought life. What's the opposite of temperance? The opposite of temperance is no control and excess. I was thrilled to know what I thought was true is true. And it's a passage I've preached from many times. Let me just read it to you. The Bible says this, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting." I've preached it before and I had to double check it on this message. Surfeiting means excess. Excess of food, excess of drink, excess of clothes, excess of makeup, excess of ammunition, shotguns, four-wheelers. The abundant life is not in abundance. And so I looked up that word excess, and then you've got to look at this one with me. I've only got two verses for you to look at, and I'll be through. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Matter of fact, this is the only one. Turn to 1 Peter. I read to you Luke 21, 34. If you'll go over past Hebrews, I'll show you something, and I'll be through. I'll prove to you scripturally that, if you'll let the Bible be your authority, I can. In 1 Peter chapter 4, what our problem is, I'll just look at verse 4. Oh, I got to read verse 3. You got to get a little bit of the context. Look at what he says in verse 3. Peter says in verse 3, "For the time past of our life," talking about our past life before we got saved, "may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles." That's how we used to live. We just live like the rest of the Gentiles. "When we walked," watch it, "when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquets, and abominable idolatries." Put your finger right there. Almost every one of those are a man with no temperance. Those are excesses. That's going aboard beyond what you ought to go beyond. Having too much. Doing it too much. Whatever. And then it says this in verse 4, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you." Cornerstone, God gave me that verse this week to encourage me. I don't know how many people say, "Brother Ron, you say it's wrong to do that, and surely a little bit won't hurt you. Brother Ron, you say about, I'll just get rid of the television. It's not the television. That's not the problem, Brother Ron. If you could control it, there wouldn't be anything wrong with the television. There's nothing wrong with a cigarette at the end of the day. There's nothing wrong with a little wine for your stomach's sake. There's no..." Listen, America is a nation that is consumed and is surfeiting. We go all out in everything we do. We eat like there's no tomorrow. We drink like there's no tomorrow. We entertain ourselves like there's no tomorrow. We have way too much. You know what some of us need? Total abstinence. And you know what the Bible says? When you give that stuff up, they'll think it's strange that you don't run with them. I've had people, "You don't have a television in your home?" Like that's some kind of terrible thing. I'm glad I don't have a television in my home. Amen. Well, you just go too far, Brother Ron. Yeah, they'll think it's strange that you don't run with them to the same excess. See, the reason I don't have a television is simple. It's not because I'm spiritual. It's because I'm carnal. If I had one, I'd probably watch an awful lot of ball. But you know what? I've got a whole lot more done over the last 8 years not watching ball. I'd probably watch all them old reruns of Andy Griffith. Well, I don't have to do that. Brother Jimbo's got all the videos. But you know, not having that television, it's amazing how much more I've got accomplished by not having it. You know what? It's amazing how many books my girls have read. Saints, temperance. You apply it however you want to. Don't leave here thinking television. You leave here thinking temperance. I don't care what area you test yourself in. Thoughts, temper, taste buds, treasures, tongue. You test yourself. You know what? I looked up the word surfeiting in Webster's dictionary, and here's what it said. Disgust caused by excess. Surfeiting, according to Webster, is disgust caused by excess. You know why this country is so frustrated and disgusted? They've got too much. And when Katrina hits, and they don't have it,
they'll kill each other. We're too spoiled. We need to thank God for what we got and learn that it's a tool to use for His glory, not to control our lives. Let's stand for prayer.